Our Sunday school lesson this morning was about a man called Philip and how he obeyed God. God told him to leave a great revival and go down to a desert, Gaza. And it was a good Sunday school lesson. Our preaching this morning to be in St. John chapter 10. And I don't really need notes. I just know that notes help because I can't always remember things that God stirred my heart about. But if you want to open up your Bible to St. John chapter 10, we'll read 21 verses. I know that's a lot of verses, but most of us are in the category we don't read our Bible enough. Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16 says, "Seek ye the book of the Lord and read." It says, "No one of these shall fail." If you fail to read your Bible, you're most likely going to fail at everything else. It goes on to say, "None shall want her mate." The best thing for a good, healthy marriage is to read your Bible and understand, like Rebecca, why am I thus? Yeah. God said, two nations are in your womb, and they're fighting, and they've been fighting, and they're still fighting today. But I just want you to know sometimes that's the way it is. So read your Bible so you'll understand why the Arabs and the Israelites are fighting. But anyway, we'll read 21 verses here real quickly. Jesus doing most of the talking here. I think there's only 4 verses that Jesus is not doing the talking. Jesus, when he says, "Verily, verily," that means of a truth. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door." Now, we had a door. I seen it open. I seen Mitchell and Phyllis come in. I seen all y'all come in.
That's right.
This is what a door is, right here.
Right.
This is the door. I want to keep that simple. It's the door.
Right.
We come in. Jesus here talking about the door. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." That means he's breaking in. He might take the window. I don't know.
That's right.
But there is a right way. And we talked about it in Sunday school this morning about protesting. Look, I have a right to protest.
Right.
But we need to protest in the right way. Don't burn the town down. Don't turn the cars over. Don't torch everything and you'll hurt people and everything else. You do have a right to protest. Thank God for our freedom.
Amen.
But protest in the right way. You know what I mean? I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. But Jesus says, if someone breaks in, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, I know they've got their excuses. You know how that is. But he that entereth in by the door... That door, we're using that door for an illustration here. He that entereth in by the door, that's twice the door has been mentioned,
right,
is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's not that hard to understand this.
Right.
And a stranger will they not follow, thank God, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now these next verses precede the verses we just read. And here's why they do. He's explaining what he just said.
Yeah.
Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now this is a different door now. "I am the door."
Amen.
He didn't just say the door. He said,
right,
"I am the door of the sheep.
Amen.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers."
Right.
"But the sheep did not hear them." Again, "I am the door, Brother Mitchell." And he says, "By me, the door, Jesus." He said, "If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." He goes on, and this is a terrible verse to be in this context, but he goes on to say, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
I am the good shepherd. He makes no, it's not hard to understand what he's saying. He said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. There is someone that thinks, that tries to make people think he's the way and he's not. And he gives this illustration. He said, this one over here comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I don't know how many people, let me stop real quick here reading. I don't know how many people blame God for something that God didn't do.
Right, that's right. That's
they say something like this, Mitchell. If God loved me, why have I got to bury my daughter May 3rd of 1999 or 1995? That's charging God foolishly.
Yes.
Not only am I charging God foolishly, but God didn't have a thing to do with that.
That's right.
I mean, the devil, Jesus said he come to steal, he come to kill, and he come to rob. Or to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus says, but I'm come that they might have life. You want to live? Get with Jesus.
Right.
And that they might have life, have it more abundant. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that's a hireling, boy, watch the hirelings. And not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. Now that reminds me of a lot of politicians. I hate to say it like this right here. But politicians could care less about you.
Right, right.
They're hirelings. This is their motivation right here.
That's right.
They want this. And they want they want this.
That's right.
But Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, the hireling, he don't care. He sees trouble, sees the wolf coming. He leaves the sheep and flees. And they're vulnerable. They're victims. They end up dying. And he leaves the sheep and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling, careth not for the sheep. He says again, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, the Mormons get all tripped up on this verse right here. And I'm going to throw it in there and I'm going to put a little explanation with this verse. Mormons think this verse pertains to them. And you know, I hate to say it like this, but they're wrong. But Jesus says, and other sheep have I which are not of this fold. He's talking to Hebrews.
Right.
I'm not a Hebrew. I was always jealous of being a Jew, that I wasn't born a Jew. I'm a spiritual Jew now. I'm that other sheep. I got grafted in. I'm a spiritual seed of Abraham. I'm a Jew now, spiritually. But anyway, he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, talking about these Jews, these Hebrews. He said, they're not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down to myself. Jesus, he wasn't killed by man. They tried to kill him.
That's right.
If it had been possible, they would have killed him. Does anybody know how many times they laid stripes on Jesus' back? You know how many stripes they put on his back, Phyllis? Well, let me give you a hint. It wasn't 39 saved. It wasn't 40 saved one. It wasn't 39. See, that's Jewish woman. Right. This is a Roman woman.
Yeah, right.
And they wore themselves out.
Right.
There was nothing left of him, Rita.
That's right.
He was not human to look upon. His vestige, his body, was marred more than any man. If it had been possible, Brother Jerry, they would have killed him.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
said, no man takes my life, I'll lay it down. Now, all these pictures you see of Jesus, he just got a little trickle of blood. Take that with a grain of salt. We're too civilized to see how mistreated he was. But I do want to say this. He willingly delivered himself into the hands of sinners. He said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down to myself. I have power. A lot of people don't understand this. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And you see what I mean by that. The verse 9 says, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews, for these sayings. And many of them said, he got a devil, and he's mad, Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? I preached a while back on Born Blind, which was a chapter preceding this, St. John chapter 9, and they're still thinking about that miracle of a boy born blind getting his eyes open. We'll stop our reading right there and go to God in prayer. I'm going to preach today on heaven's door. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the crowd that's before us. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be counted faithful, to be put into ministry. I call upon you, Lord, for help. You said in John chapter 15, you said, without me, you can do nothing. There's so many people today doing nothing because they won't let you help them. Not only do I confess I need your help, I'm asking, Lord, for it. I pray you'll preach to me and through me. Let there be tears on my cheeks. Lord, let there be, I pray, compassion in my heart. Let there be, I pray, Lord, a touch of reality, Lord, upon the message today. Oh my God, whatever you could do, I thank you, Lord, for whatever you could do. I give you praise and glory and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus here doing his best to talk about a door. He's really hit on it pretty hard. He mentioned actually a door four times. He mentioned the door twice, and then he mentioned I am the door twice.
Yeah.
By the way, there's only one door to heaven. And this door welcomes all. The old song says, though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you.
Right.
I don't know how heaven, I don't know how big heaven is. All of you probably don't know how big it is neither. But I'll tell you this, it's big enough for you.
That's right. Amen.
And it's big enough for me.
That's right.
I haven't been there, but I remember back, Miranda, when I taught little 10-year-olds, and I really had needed them to teach me. I didn't know enough Bible to blow my nose, but I do remember a question I got asked when I was teaching these little 10-year-old boys. I remember a little boy raising his hand up. He's pastor of a church now, Misty. His name was Brent Spillman. He pastors just right over the hill over at Little Bethel Baptist Church. He was in my Sunday school class, and he said, "Brother, I got a question." And I said, "Well, what's your question there, Brent?" Like I scared to death, you know what I mean? And here's his question. He said, "How do we know we're going to like him when we get to heaven?" Boy, this soon he asked that question, God gave me the answer. Can you imagine that?
Amen.
And I said, "Brent, you like it here?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I like it here." I said, "Well, it's far better there." He said, "Well, I ain't going." And you know what? It's far better there, Caden. I haven't been there. I'm going. But you know, there was a woman. She's the queen of sheep. She heard about a man named Solomon. Man, it was quite a story. She heard about how great his wisdom was. I mean, this man, boy, he had such great wisdom. You know where he got it at? He asked God for wisdom. God gave him.
That's right.
He was the wisest man ever. She heard about that, Mitchell.
That's right.
This rumor about Solomon was enough. She made a long journey.
That's right.
She come with many camels, with many riches,
amen,
with much gold and spices, and she come a long way with her, Jeff.
That's right.
Because she heard about the fame of Solomon.
Right.
And she's a little carnal, and she ain't really got the right spirit, and she come to prove him with hard questions. Now, don't ask me no hard questions. I may not be able to handle them, Joy. But she's got these hard questions. You know, like, she's got questions like, where can his wife? You know, some of them stupid questions. You know, he got it from his mother. She's the mother of all living Eve. But anyway, she's come to prove Solomon with hard questions, and he answered every one of them. Man, I tell you what, she's kind of looking around, and Misty, for lack of better words, her spirit just fainted within her, and she said, "I didn't believe the report till I come and seen it."
Yeah.
You know what she said on him? She said, "The half ain't been told." When we get to heaven, you know what you're going to say? You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say the half ain't been told.
Amen.
He must be, because he know better than sit on the front row.
Amen.
And old brother Eddie goes straight to that one close as there. And all of them, she's sitting up here on the front row, and she's loving every minute of it. But listen, this door welcomes you. It beckons you. Come. Come on. Come.
That's right.
Come on. That's what this door says. It says, you want to go to heaven?
Amen.
I'm the door. Jesus said, John 14, verse 6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. That's that door. There's no other way to go.
No other way to go.
And there's no escape if you don't. Hebrews 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no escape. There's no excuse.
Right.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people give excuse, Brother Ed. Some of them are going to say, well, I bought a lawnmower off Brother Ed and I had to work on it. I just didn't have time to come.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I bet man bought that lawnmower. It's a good lawnmower. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to name that thing the Red Goat. That's the easiest lawnmower I've ever seen. It'll cut anything, carrying said Eddie. I'll tell you one thing, one pass, you're done. She's right. Amen. Whatever she says, go with it. That's what Jesus said about what Mary said about Jesus. Whatsoever he says, do it. Yeah, man, anyway, you turn the water into wine. A lot of wine was like that verse. But this door beckons all to come. This door says if you knock on this door, it'll be open to you. It's not hard. I've had doors shut in my face. I haven't been spit on. Sam has been cussed out a few times. You know, your motives are right. You just want to tell somebody the good news, and you go to the wrong door.
Amen.
And you kind of tell what's on the other side of that door for every knock on it. You think, oh, God, help me. I mean, you can hear it. I mean, I knocked on that door, and you hear furniture turn it over, and you hear it, and you think, oh, my God. And you hear a dog barking and everything else. Go, what do you want? I said, I just want to tell you about Jesus. We don't want to hear it. Ow!
Yeah.
Well, listen, this door ain't like that. This door right here is your door. It's my door. It's everyone's door.
That's right.
It's perfect door.
Amen.
It's a door that welcomes all to come. Though many have come, still room for one. This kind, that kind of door. And if you knock on this door, it will be open to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall... knock and it shall be opened. You ask and it shall be given you. This door right here is absolute success.
Yeah.
You don't have to go somewhere else. Jesus said, if you come to this door, He said, I'll in no wise turn you away. John 6, verse 37.
Amen.
But listen, you must seek, you must knock, and eternal life will be given to you. It's not really that hard. And with doors in mind, I just got a real simple message here. I think I've got plenty of time to deliver this. There was a door in the side of Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
Now, in Noah's day, like today, there's a lot of Bibles. In Noah's day, man agreed to God in his heart and even made man because God wants us to love one another. You know, there was a certain lawyer, he asked Jesus, he's wanting to justify himself. Jesus talking about loving your neighbor, and he said, who is my neighbor? Boy, how'd you like to have a neighbor like him? Anyway,
that's right.
We do need to learn to love one another. I believe that's the first thing we do when we get to heaven, Rita. I believe that's the first thing we do to go to school, learn how to love one another.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, I done learned this pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
Ball bat, whatever it takes, you know.
Yeah.
But up there, we're going to have to learn how to get along,
that's
Brother Mitchell.
Right.
We're going to live in harmony.
Right.
I'm going to sing with angels.
Come on.
Hey, look, I'm going to cut a trail. I'm going to enjoy the joys of the Lord. Somebody said, are you sure? Absolutely sure.
Right.
Now, for those of you that don't know, we come out of the womb speaking lies.
Right.
Even little old babies, they cry, nothing wrong. You go in there and all they wanted was attention. You know, you go in there and you know how it is, you know. Nothing wrong, but you think they die.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't trying to beat that out. I'm just telling you the truth. Babies will pull you straight. Well, we come out of the womb speaking lies. Well, Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says it's impossible God to lie.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
That's right.
Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 says that God who cannot lie, promise.
Right.
I mean, the promises of God are yeah and amen.
That's right.
Ain't no question at all. They're just all yeah and amen. I mean, glory to God. He said, Eddie, if you'll come, I'll check you, I'll forgive you, I'll save you. I came, He did it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people haven't came, it's for that reason, Sharon, they're skeptics. Yeah, I've heard about that. I done heard all that. Now, I don't want one of them. You know, I try to give them one of these. I don't want one of them.
Yeah.
Well, they may not, but they need one of these.
That's right.
Because they'll tell them about the love of God.
Right.
In a very effective, very easy way. Most people got opinions about God, and I hate to say it, according to all the propaganda out there, it's not a very good opinion. But Jesus said that He would accept us. There was a door in the side of Noah's ark. Does anybody know how many people went inside that huge ark? Does anybody? I mean, I don't mind you answering. If you know how many it is, how many? I asked some questions in Sunday school, didn't I, Autumn? Yeah, she knew too.
Hey.
You know how many people were in that ark? No. Anybody else?
Eight.
Who said that? All right, Rita. Mind me after church, I'll give you something. I don't know. I said, tell her, bring in a whole big basket of stuff. But she's right. Now, this huge ark, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. It looked like one of those cruisers they go on vacation. I guess that's where they get the pattern. I don't know. That big a boat and only eight souls went in. What's going on, Caden? That big a boat? Wouldn't you think eight people, more people than eight, would have gotten a boat that big? You're right. Now, the reason no more than eight got in there, it's kind of like what goes on today.
Right.
They had a bunch of skeptics that said, we'll see about this flood.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it had never rained before.
That's right.
I mean, Noah, he's a preacher for 120 years, and his message is, it's coming a flood. And it's never rained before.
Amen.
They're saying, he says it's going to be a flood. 120 years he's preaching. He's building this big ark.
Amen.
And his message is, it's coming a flood, get in this ark. You know why them eight got in? Well, first of all, that was his three sons and his three daughter-in-law. They probably had no choice. And his mother. You know what Noah's wife's mother's name was? That was the first question I got asked when I first got saved. And it was kind of a practical joke, you know. I mean, here I am. I got zeal, no knowledge, you know. Somebody said, what was Noah's wife? And I said, I'll get back with you. Miss Noah. I know it now. Miss Noah, yeah. You know what I mean? I fell for that hook, line, and sinker. You know, I just see Mike Gillott's one asked me a question. I just see him. He's going to try to find Noah's wife. It was Miss Noah. Anyway, I'm sure Miss Noah, at the direction of her husband,
that's right,
got in that ark. She's probably glad she did.
Yeah.
And then Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they got their wives and said, look, do like his wife did. Get in here with them. And I'm sure they probably went in kicking and screaming, but when God shut that door, that ark, everyone that wasn't in that ark died.
That's right.
The Bible said everything that had breath
exactly
died.
Right.
Now, more than eight could have got in. By the way, if anybody wants to know, God said make sure they're male and female.
Right.
Male and female went into that ark.
Right.
Then they rocket scientists to figure out why God specified to make sure two of every kind, male and female, go in. But anyway, eight had enough sense to go in that ark. And the reason I mention that ark is after they got in that ark, it said God shut the door. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. And God shut the door to salvation by the ark.
That's right.
In the flood of Noah's day, and everybody that didn't get in the boat drowned it. I just want you to know what happened in Noah's day is coming again.
Amen.
Now the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He used it for an illustration. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, there's another door mentioned. And this door is a door to a marriage. And it's a marriage to the kingdom of heaven. And there's 10 virgins mentioned, and they've all been invited. Five's ready, five's wise, five foolish, five's ready, five's not ready, about like today. You know, here we are and here. You know how fast Jesus is going to come on? I can't really twinkle my eye, but... Yeah. I mean, that's a blink, but just in a twinkle of an eye, He's coming.
Amen.
And in a twinkle of an eye, I'm believing.
That's right.
Oh, it's going to be. I've never flown in my life, Missy. But I'm going to take this flight. Oh, my. I'm so looking forward to taking this flight. I'm so looking forward to getting out of this mess.
We've
made a mess.
Come on now.
We truly have. We've made a mess.
Big mess.
The simple things that God had in mind for us, we're just too smart for our own good, I guess.
Right.
But anyway, in this parable, and it is a parable, God's just trying to convey a truth.
Yeah.
And He says, there's a marriage to the kingdom of heaven, and 10 virgins are included in this invitation, this marriage to the kingdom of heaven. And you know, five's wise, five's foolish, five's ready, five's not ready. All that's okay until Jesus comes, friend. You know what I mean? I mean, you can sit here today and say, yeah, but listen, if He comes today, it'll be serious.
That's right.
See, Jesus said what I said. You know, I said, I'll watch. He said, well, how are you think not? He said, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Now, I know probably not a whole lot of people thinking about God coming today, but He could.
He could come anytime.
Yeah. He could come right now. Be all right leaving. I wouldn't have to worry about things. This message, hey, we just leave right in the middle of it. It'd be all right. And no more need for preaching then. But listen, when Jesus does come, you better be ready. Five left with Jesus.
Amen.
In His parable. And five were left behind. By the way, verse 10 said, and the door was shut.
That's right.
Now, when that door was shut, Brother Mitchell, they said, Lord, open unto us. He said, I know you're not.
That's right.
I wonder how many in Noah's day, Carolyn said, Noah! Open that door. Mm-hmm. Noah couldn't open it. God shut it.
That's right.
But just like that door to that boat was shut, just like that door in this parable was shut, I want you to know God shut it.
That's right.
Now I want to get off the shut door real quick. I want to talk about an open door.
Yeah.
God said, I have set before you an open door. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. He said, and no man can shut it. Now, a lot of people would like to keep you trapped. They like to say, ah. God said, hearken unto me.
That's right.
God said, come to me. He said, I love you. He said, I don't care what you've done. I'll forgive you. I'll save you. I'll wash you. I'll cleanse you. I'll bless you. I'll give you the things that you want and some. I'm just telling you, God has set before us an open door. And, you know, some people, I mean, they think their church is the only one going to heaven, Autumn. Well, I'm not a member of their church and I'm going to heaven. I don't know, that's kind of an oxymoron,
right.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of a high dollar word, but that's an impossibility because I'm going to heaven. I'm not one of theirs. But they think they're the only ones going and you know, they think they've got this thing all sold up. I mean, you got to be a member of their church to go. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to be ordained by their preacher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I wasn't ordained by their preacher. I'm not a member of their church. But I do know God said, whosoever will, let him come.
Yeah.
Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved.
Yeah.
Whosoever comes to me, Jesus said, I won't turn them away. He said, I've set before you an open door. Whew. I like open doors.
Amen.
Look, I'm all for people coming to this country for the right reason.
That's right.
If they're coming here for a refuge for their soul, if they're sincere, I want them to have the opportunity to come.
Yeah.
But those that are coming to try to take your life, I'm getting tired of picking out grave sites for like a little 20-year-old Molly.
That's Kibbick. Right. Amen.
That's unacceptable to me.
That is.
Right.
This little beautiful 20-year-old girl, I'm sure she had plans, Misty. And I'm sure in her plans, Miranda, one of them wasn't is that she's out there jogging, minding her own business. What did she do wrong?
No.
Can somebody tell me what Molly Tibbetts done wrong? She's just out there jogging. This guy gets out of his car and he runs over there. And I'm just going to guess he probably tried to make a hit on her. I don't know. But she said, I'm going to call the police. He said he blacked out. He don't remember what happened after that. I say he got a problem.
Yes, from the neck up.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
And sadly, our government's not going to do nothing about it. Now listen,
right.
I didn't really throw that in there. But I'm all for immigrants coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
Just let their motive be pure.
Right.
That's right.
You know how racism exists? Do you really know how it exists? It exists because people stir it up. That's how it exists.
Stirring it.
You know, the Bible said as much as life in you, live peace with all men. I'm for peace. I would love to meet in the middle of the aisle. Peyton, you care to stand up here just a minute, buddy. And just hug their neck and say, I love you.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
I don't want to fight. I want to get along. What would it take for us to get along? But there's some people, Brother Mitchell, they want
this
racism.
Right.
You see, they make a living off of it.
Yeah.
They thrive upon it. I hate to say it like that, but it's true. They don't want it to go away. They don't want it to smooth out. They want it to be as rough as it can be. It's sad in our
country. That's right.
It's being taught in our schools. schools. It's being promoted by politicians. We're being poisoned politically. And I don't want to get political, but God's not. He said, I don't care what color you are. All of them, he says, I don't care what you've done. He says, I love you.
Yeah.
I heard a story. Mays Jackson told him. It was good. He said, there was a little girl by like all of them here. And they said, there was this great king. And really, he thought he'd go up through his kingdom there. And he grew up through his kingdom. And he said, they're forever, O king. Boy, they just had, the high accolades. Woo! Man, more worthy than the king. Live forever, O king. You know what he thought he'd do, Brother Jeff? He thought, I'm going to change my clothes. And he put on some old rags, Joanne. And he went out there and he knocked on this door, the one that said, live forever, O king. They said, get out of here, you bum. Boy, I put a knot on your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went to the other house, Miranda, and they said, you leave now. He went to that house where this little girl lived. And you know what? She said, I love you. Come on in.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
You know what he did? He ran home. He changed his clothes.
Yeah, that's right.
He come back in a royal robe with a crown. He went to that little girl. She said, who are you? He said, look into my eyes. She said, it's the king. He's the one that came to me.
Yeah.
Listen, he's the one that come to me.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, I love
right.
Yeah. He said, I want you to live with, you know what she moved in her palace. She lived with the king. King of kings said, I sit before you an open door.
Yeah,
right. He said, I want you to live with me. Can you imagine if President Trump called you, Mark, and said, Mark, can you mind coming up here to the White House today? I'd like to treat you to a real good steak dinner. Mark said, Miranda, you drive. I found a verse in the Bible to describe Miranda in Acts chapter 28 about that storm and rock and all said it be against the ship. They said, we let her drive. I thought, that's Miranda for sure. I love Miranda. She breaks the speed limit to get to church. In my opinion, that's not breaking the law. But anyway, God said, I've said before you. Listen, God, this is the most important part of this message. He said, I have set before you an open door. Come in.
That's right. Amen.
Now, don't be on the wrong side of the door when the door shuts.
That's right.
He said, I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. God has that open door for you to have a home in heaven. And He done that because He loves you. And He welcomes you. But also He warns you. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, you got Jesus, He's knocking on the door.
Right.
And He's saying, can I please come in?
Mm-hmm.
And that's most of us.
That's right.
We really don't want to be bothered. He says, can I please come in? Can we please talk? My open door is going to close and I want you to be spared the fire that's coming upon this earth. He says, I want you to live with me in heaven. There's a man in Acts chapter 26, verse 28. His name's King Agrippa. He heard one of the greatest preachers that's ever lived. You know, Sunday school lesson, we heard about Saul. Well, he's Paul now. And he's giving his testimony. And Agrippa hears it. And he comes to Agrippa and he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. You know what King Agrippa's answer was, Joanne? He said, almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There's going to be a lot of people that almost made it through that door.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, there's no excuse for not going through that door, no excuse for not coming to that door. But a lot of people, they got good intentions. And David, they said, one of these days, I'm going to surprise you. One of these days, Karen, they might get surprised.
That's right.
That door is going to get shut. Now, it's done been shut in Noah's day. It's done been shut in the parable of marriage.
Right.
For the kingdom of heaven. And God says, I've got it open for you. I want you to come. I bid you to come. I welcome you to come. I'm there at that door to greet you. And we make it light about it. Yeah. I bought some oxen. I bought some land. I got to go see. I took a wife. Bring her with you. It's amazing the excuses we'll come up with.
Yeah, that's right.
And yet God, Brother Ed, he says, I got a door for you. And it's not behind door number one, door number two, door number three. He said, I'm the door. Yeah. And I'm open.
Yeah.
I'm not too busy. Matter of fact, he even tells us, cast all your cares upon me. He says, I care for you. He's not too busy. Now, out there at work, me and Misty, we get busy. And I'm always intruding. She's busy. She's got things to do. And I'll come in some wisecrack or something and get her distracted what she's doing. I hope I've never got her in trouble. But she'll tell you that, Eddie, he just keeps on coming in, you know, when I'm busy. Well, you know, there is a time for everything.
That's right.
And they don't, I hope they don't hold it against me, but I do like to kind of keep people, I don't know, interrupting the thought. You know, I don't want to get just swallowed up in work, you know, and I try to give them a little break there. Now I come in here and I'll tell her something, she'll laugh. And say, I'm busy, I ain't got time for that right now. But anyway, God, he's not too busy. But King Agrippa, he said, I am almost persuaded.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sad commentary.
Well, it is.
Nothing else is wrote about King Agrippa. So I'm just going to guess, instead of going through that open door, he went through that shut door. And there ain't a door handle on the other side of it. And I guess down there in the flames of hell, I guess King Agrippa saying, I was almost persuaded. Paul said, I would to God that you were not almost, but altogether. See, you got to be altogether.
Yep.
Not almost. Paul said, I wish you was like me. He said, because I used to be like you. But you know what? He had more than a close encounter. He had a head-on collision.
Yes, he did.
But it was a head-on collision. The Bible said immediately he preached Christ.
Yeah,
I mean, it changed his theology. It changed everything about him. And that's why he became from Saul to Paul. Listen, this door to heaven, it bids you to come. This door to heaven, it welcomes you to come. But this door to heaven, you know what? You still got to come. You see, he's the door. And he's open. And he says, come. And we're the ones that's got to come and say, Jesus, I heard your message, and I've come. And he said, good, I'm so glad you came.
Amen.
I've been longing for you to come. I've been loving the moment that you've come because I want to share my love with you. But you've got to come. See, that's what the problem is. The problem with us, not with him. Father, I pray this message in simplicity, Lord. I pray the Holy Spirit could move upon it. Help us to see ourselves in God's mirror as we really are. Those that are saved, I pray blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Those that are not saved, I pray urgency upon the matter. I pray they wouldn't say, I'll do it next Sunday. I pray they'll say, today I'm coming to that open door. Today I'm going to lay hold on eternal life. Today I'm going to get to know Jesus personally. And Lord, whatever happens here, I pray the hand of God to be the one to do it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Believe it or not, that's right on time. I was going to stop. Right on time, and I did. And I'd like to ask Brother Jerry, Sister Sharon, please come give us an invitational hymn. And this time, instead of singing one verse of invitational hymn, sing more than one verse. Help yourself or whatever you feel.
Okay.